The Lord be with you. Good afternoon and welcome to IPC. If you find yourself here for the very first time, we want to tell you how thankful we are that God has brought you here to worship with us today. We pray that the time you spend with us today in worship and in fellowship is an encounter with the living God and an encounter with his loving people. We have two very, very special, We have two very, very, very special visitors with us today. The first one is Andrew Goodwin. Andrew, would you stand up? I'm not sure where you are. Oh, there, you're right there. Wow, there you go. Anyway, Andrew leads a ministry in with the Shan people in Thailand and Myanmar, and this is a ministry that IPC has been associated with for 23 years now. So Andrew will be our guest preacher this morning, and after the service, over lunch, he will give us a presentation about his work of bringing the gospel to the Shan people. So thank you, Andrew, for being with us today, and I'm glad you're right there where I can see you. Second, we have former IPC pastor, Doug Brower with us today. Doug, if you'd like to come up here. Doug served at IPC from 2014 until 2018, and he was in town this weekend for the memorial service of Jurg von Tobel. So I'd like to now give Doug opportunity to say a few words of greeting. Doug, the mic and the floor are all yours.
How much time do I have?
10, 15 minutes, it's good.
It is overwhelming. To see you all now, and it was overwhelming yesterday at the memorial service for Jurg von Tobel. I had so many emotions and tears. I'm sorry about that. I'm a crybaby. I would like to list all of those ways that this church and its wonderful people have shaped and formed me as a pastor and me as a person of faith, but we don't have time for that. But please know how grateful I am to you for the opportunity to work with you in ministry. And then one other word of gratitude. Thank you for being patient with me because I am a notoriously slow learner. It is so good to be with you. Thank you.
Please join me now in prayer as we prepare to worship one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Wise and gracious God, save us today from the idols of our hearts and keep us always in your living presence that we may become a people for your praise. In Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. 5 to 6 and 8 to 11, and can be found on pages 491 to 492 of the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. All of the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the 7th month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. This is the word of the Lord. Today's New Testament reading comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, and can be found on pages 1203 to 1204 of the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. It's a joy to be here and to have the opportunity to share God's word. I just want to ask God's help in that, so I'm just going to pray. Loving Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your love and mercy. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, and you've given us life, and you've opened the eyes of our hearts. We've heard the gospel, we've responded to you. I praise you, Lord God, for your word, and I pray that as I lift your word, as I speak today, I pray for an anointing of your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand what you want us to understand, and give us hearts that are receptive, and that we would hear, that we'd have ears to hear, and that we would have the grace to obey and to follow you. We can't do this in our own strength, so I ask for that, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's wonderful to be here, and it's not so long since I was last here. I had opportunity about 18 months ago, I guess, to share here. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God's leading, God's sovereignty, God's work in our individual lives, but also in the lives of his people, the church. And yesterday, I had the privilege of being a part of the service to remember Jörg von Tobel. And that was a very special service. And it was wonderful to hear testimony, words from Pastor Mark and other people, Jörg and Pia's children, Rachel, as she shared testimony, to hear from Doug. But also, I really appreciated how Doug shared a sermon that wasn't his own sermon, but it was from Pastor Richard, from a previous pastor from this church that many of you will remember and still love. And so it felt a moment, really, to be here that I didn't plan, but it was God's plan. And so I feel that that was a special time. Part of the reason for that was the first time that I came to this church was in 2003, I think. And at that time, Jörg von Tobel was the chair of the mission board, or whatever you have. And so he was, together with Pierre, some of the first people that I met here. And they opened their house to me, and I've connected with them, particularly for Pierre, because Pierre's a Thai speaker, and we can speak together in Thai. And so that relationship has been there over the last 23 years. And I thank God for this church and for the heart of this church, for the gospel. I really appreciate, Doug, how you just expressed how you've been blessed. My interactions with this church has been so much less than a pastor being here over several years. But I do feel that I've had, by God's grace, a role, a part in the mission of this church, which is God's thing. It's something that God has done. And so when I was in the service yesterday, just like typically in funeral services, these verses came to my mind. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. That's from 1 Peter. And it talks really about the transitory nature of our lives, but the eternal reality of God's word and his plan in this world. So I don't know if you're a regular member of this church, or you're just coming here today. But I believe it's the testimony of this church, and it's the testimony of Christians throughout the world, that it is about God and his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. And he gives us that invitation to be a part of what he's doing in the world, and the joy of following him for a brief period. But we have eternal life, not through our own efforts, not through what we have done, not through our own goodness, but through his goodness and grace and mercy in our lives. And the passage that I'm going to be speaking on, that was just read out by Jenny, it kind of marks one of the high points in church history, or God's people's history. And if you read the Bible, you'll see there are very low points, and there are some high points as well. And I think that's true for our lives as well. There are low points in our lives, and often God uses those low points in our lives and those tragedies to make himself a little bit clearer to us and give us the opportunity to respond. And we have the opportunity to harden our hearts like Pharaoh did, or open our hearts and receive the grace that is ours through Jesus. And so the passage that was read out was from Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is a passage that's really a high point that came after the exile, which was an extremely low point. You have the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations, and then you have Habakkuk, and then you have Nehemiah, which is a tremendous book, because you see the faith of Nehemiah and the people of God rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and in a shameful state. And so you have in the earlier chapters of Nehemiah a tremendous series of chapters that talk about how God's people together, in the face of opposition and difficulty, opposition within the own heart, but also opposition from outside, overcame that opposition by remembering God, who is great and awesome, and pursuing the call that was on their lives to be part of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And so that had been completed. And there was this occasion that we just heard of where they called Ezra to come and to read the law in front of the congregation. Congregation made up of men and women and anyone who could understand. So I guess that's younger, but could understand. And so there was this great congregation, and there was this situation where they asked Ezra to come and speak the book of the law. Now, you know, Jewish people don't have the New Testament, so it's not the full Bible that they had. And what they were asked, what Ezra was asked to read, was the law. Now, that could have been the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, or it could have been specifically Deuteronomy, which is a list of blessings and curses and the law for the Jewish people. But it's really interesting what happened. And so I just want to pick out some stuff in that. They built a platform specifically so that Ezra could be high up, but also, I believe, out of reverence for the law, reverence for the word of God. Now, I don't think it's coincidental that I'm in a, I think this is a French Reformed church, I guess, and I'm quite high up. I don't think the idea is to exalt me or the speaker, but is to revere the word of God and to put the word of God high up. Now, that can become just a tradition. That can be just what you do. But it can be reverence to the word of God. And, you know, some traditions, Anglican traditions, different traditions, sometimes people stand when we read the word of God. And that was done here. And so this is really interesting to me. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing up high. It wasn't just him. There were guys either side of him that were there to explain what was read out. He read from dawn until midday. I mean, that's quite a long reading. But I don't think it was just read. There was explanation that was going on as well. Because, you know, God's word is quite challenging to understand, isn't it? We kind of need help. And there are people who are maybe more mature than us, who've been around for longer in the faith, perhaps particularly gifted to explain scriptures. And the word was explained to the gathered community that was there. So there was the together aspect of this. It was read publicly. And I think there's still a place for the public reading of scripture, because it is God's intent that we understand his word. so that we can understand his purpose for humanity, for our lives. They listened attentively to Ezra. They were really keen to know what he was having to say through the law. It was an act of worship. It was a response to God and who he is. And that's what worship is. And so it was a collective, together response. And you know when they responded? They responded by listening to the word, and then they kind of fell flat on their faces. And there were tears in response to the word. Where are we today with the word? How soft are we to the word? Where does the Bible fit in our lives? Where does the importance of Scripture fit with us? I think it's a good question. Earlier this year, in January, there was much excitement in the northern Thai city of Chiang Mai. And the excitement was because the Bible was coming. Okay? Now, this church, IPC, have adopted the Shan people, an unreached Buddhist people in Southeast Asia that's transnational, a bit like the Kurds, population about the same as Scotland, so about 6 million people. So not an insignificant group of people. Maybe 3 in 1,000 people are followers of Jesus, so they're an unreached people group. And they did actually, this church adopted the Shan in 2002. That was the same year, 2002 to 2003, coincidentally not, that the Bible was translated into Shan in a readable script that Shan people could understand. There's been work amongst Shan people for many, many years, but we can see growth of the gospel amongst the Shan really since 2002. The numbers of people coming to faith since 2002 are much higher than prior to that. That shouldn't really surprise us. Because in terms of salvation history, in terms of God's plan for people, it's wrapped up in his word. And the word came in a readable form to Shan people in 2002. And this church has been praying and giving and sending since that. And I've had the joy of walking with, being a part of that process. And it's amazing. And I'll share after lunch some of the things that God is doing that are way beyond us. And he alone is worthy of the glory. But this Bible has come out. Now, this is it. So I've now got, this is one of 4,000 Shan Bibles that is a new version. So it's not the version that came out in 2002 that was a translation from the English Good News version of the Bible, which is good and is readable and God has been using. But this is another version that's actually an archaic Shan Bible that was in a script that nobody can really read or understand. And so it wasn't so useful. But there was a project over the last 5 or 6 years to transliterate that old script into a new script. The good thing is that the guy who wrote this Bible was a guy called Cushing. He was a Hebrew and Greek scholar. And so the Bible is not from English so much to Shan, but is from Greek and Hebrew to Shan. Now, it's not perfect in every way, and neither is the red one. But can you praise God together with me today that the Shan people have got 2 versions of the Bible? How many do you have in English? How many do we have? Countless, yeah? Which is wonderful, because each time we read a different version of the Bible, we can see different aspects. Now, just a quick example with the Shan one is that the Good News version of the Shan Bible in 2002, if you read Romans chapter 10, where it says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news," it doesn't say feet, all right? It doesn't say feet. And that's because in the Good News version of the English Bible, it doesn't say feet either. It just says it's a great thing. Shan people, before they say anything to do with their feet, they say sorry. Because feet are low down, dirty things. Actually, a bit like in Jewish culture, right? And if feet are beautiful, that is an incredible thing. But the people who were translating that red Bible, they thought, Shan people don't like talking about feet. It's good that we don't talk about feet, so they didn't talk about feet. But they missed something. Because Shan people who come alive to the Spirit of God and get involved in sharing the gospel and then find out that their feet are beautiful, that's a very, very powerful thing. And this Bible has that. There are other examples as well where the writing is a little bit different. But together, I can praise God that the Word of God is coming to Shan people. Now, it's come in this form, and it's also in YouVersion and a standalone app. But what's important is that it actually comes into the heart, doesn't it? And that's true for us too. How alive are we to the Spirit of God? 2 years ago, another people group in Myanmar called the Ba'o people, about 800,000 people, they got the Bible for the very first time. There's a people group in Myanmar called the Rakhine. Some of you might have heard about the Rohingya Muslims and the people who've been suffering kind of genocide and have left Myanmar. The other people group in the same area are the Rakhine, the Buddhist people group, don't have scriptures. This year, we started a radio broadcast to that people group, not without opposition. And the Bible Translation Project has just started. There's also Deaf Sign Language Bible Translation Project in Myanmar that is so inspiring. Now, I'm from the UK, and in the UK, we don't drive on the same side as the road as here, all right? And I was recently in America, and by God's grace, I didn't die, because at one point, I actually rode on the wrong side of the road. So that was awful, and that's not a thing to encourage. It's something to avoid. But I live in Thailand, and in Thailand, you drive on the same side as the road as you do in England, right? So traffic law in Thailand and traffic law in England, basically the same law. But in Thailand, the death rate on roads is 4 times what it is in the UK. 4 times. So typically in the UK, I understand, it's not a new statistic, something I read a few years ago, but at that time, typically about 13 people die each day on the road in the UK. In Thailand, it's about 60. Okay, same law, it's just you don't apply it in Thailand. I kind of like that sometimes. You know, it's kind of a fluid, I go with the flow, but it's dangerous. What are we like when we're with our own abiding by the law? The only place I've ever had a speeding ticket was here in Switzerland. A tiny little bit above the speed limit, and I got a fine that came so embarrassing because it came through the car rental company. So everybody knows about your misdemeanor, yeah? Not just me. Yeah. But, you know, what are you like? How are you like? Do you like the fact that Google or Waze tells you that there's a police coming up ahead or a speed camera coming up ahead of you? What do you do in that circumstance? Do you slow down at that point? And then after the camera, do you kind of like, you're off again? Yeah, you let your own conscience answer that one. Mine's already convicting me. And the guy that I was driving with a couple of days ago, that was it. You could actually see where the cameras are here, I think. And you plan your drive accordingly. Yeah. The Word of God, where does it fit in your life? What are we like? Are we kind of different in front of the congregation than we are in our home, in our house, when we're with our family? I'm speaking to myself as well, not just you. But the Word of God, if it's held up high in our lives, that doesn't mean it's put up high physically necessarily, but it means that it comes into us. And it changes us. And that's my heart for Shan people, because Buddhist people, they have something called the Dharma, okay? And the Dharma is a holy scripture for Buddhist people. But it's not that important that you really understand it. It's really important that the monks follow, but not that important for just ordinary people to follow. And sometimes Christians are not too different. Yeah, it's really important that Mark's following the Lord, understands the scripture. It's a real problem if a pastor isn't. But it's a real problem if we're not too. And God's word is for our benefit and for our blessing. And these people, they cried when they heard the word of God. But the encouragement wasn't to so much cry, but to receive the joy of the blessing of having the word of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength, is our strength. That's a wonderful thing. That's as much a truth for the families of IPC as it is for the emerging Shan Church. And so pray with me that the Word of God, it's like Okay, how can I put it? I come to Christ as a materialistic person from the UK, right? I come to the Lord, I accept I'm a sinner, I call out on God for his grace and mercy, and I'm saved, hallelujah. But you know what? I'm still a materialist. Right? I'm still influenced so much by what's around me, my desires and what I'm about. And it takes mercy and grace from God to engage with the scripture and then respond in a faith-filled manner. Now, it's the same for Buddhist people. So Buddhist people come to Jesus, they're saved, just like you and I are. Trusting in Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is Lord and you believe that he's raised from the dead, you will be saved in Romans 10. It's truth. It's not because of what you've done, it's because of what he's done for you. He lived for us, he died for us so that we may live for him. Yeah. And so faith comes by hearing the word of God. The verse is, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and what he's done for us. Many years ago in Thailand, we shared the gospel with a Shan lady called Nut, and she had a tragedy in her life, and I've got no personal judgment against it, it was a tragedy. She aborted her own child herself and caused physical harm to the child. The child was born blind in one eye, and you could see it. And this lady, it was very sad, but she responded to the Bible, to the gospel. We gave her a Bible. About a month later, she came to our house and she returned the Bible to us. It was so sad, but she said, when I read the Bible, I feel bad. That's so sad, because actually, when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit, he does bring light to uncomfortable and awkward parts of our lives, but his mercy is phenomenal. The next verses, it says, he is slow to anger and abounding in love. And so if you kind of squirm when you read the Bible, don't be put off, don't be stumbled, but draw close to him, for his mercy is there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. We've been connected with this church since 2003. And Shona and I have lived in Thailand for 30 years now. And we're just ordinary people. But we can see over the years that we've been working that God is so faithful. God is so faithful. God is at work. God is at work here. I can see that through the history of the different situations. Never, not been easy, but God is at work here in IPC. God is at work wherever people are faithfully sharing the gospel. And God is working amongst the Shan. It's his word, eternal. It will go out and pray with me. It won't come back void. God will accomplish his purpose and his plan. Be joyful. Be joyful that you have the word. Many people still don't. Yeah, praise the Lord. Be joyful that you have the word. And let it be not just something that you're thankful that you have, but may all with God's grace be soft. Be open to correction, to encouragement, to what he wants to say to us through it. I'm going to finish shortly, but it was quite cool this morning that you sang "This Is the Day." All right, so I'm going to sing it in Shan, right? Mun ai pen wan, mun ai pen wan, prapin zao pan hao, prapin zao pan hao. On gan se swang, on gan se swang, le mun pyo mun ai, le mun pyo mun ai. Mun ai ben wan, prapin zao pan hao. On gan se swang, le mun pyo mun ai. Mun ai ben wan, mun ai ben wan, prapin zao pan hao. No. No, please not. That's not why I did it. I can do that because people have gone to share. And there's been an intentional engagement with people in another language to the point that they can do what you do. Each Sunday you worship the Lord, throughout the week you worship the Lord. Other people in other languages can do that too. Because of churches like this that prioritize, yeah, the fact that the Holy Spirit, he gives us the power to be a testimony, close at hand, but also to the ends of the earth. Never lose sight of that, that it is something that it's beyond ourselves. Never get blinkered and just think next to you, because that's narrowing and limiting the blessing that is yours. So enjoy the Word of God. Love the fact the Word of God is in your life. And be a part of the Word of God going to other people and to other nations to God's glory. And I do believe that there is a peculiar and a particular calling on this church to have an involvement in the Shan, a level that the Lord will guide you and lead you as you go forward. So as we look back, we can see God's faithfulness and God's calling. As we look now, today, we can see that his word is alive and living and active and speaks to us and makes us squirm if we're not living in the light. But then let's not harden our hearts. Let's draw closer to him and let's see what he does in the future. Okay, I'm going to pray and that will be it. Father, I thank you so much for just the privilege of being able to look upon my brothers and sisters here at IPC this morning. Lord, I know that you are with them. And I know that there are people maybe visiting here, but I pray that just as was in the welcome earlier today, that people would, eyes would be opened and hearts would be softened, and that the work of your gospel would continue to work here, Lord God, that the church here would be a witness locally, that Christians here would be alive to the word of God and soft, because you are the potter and we're the clay, and that you would use us, that we would walk in fellowship together, brokered by your Holy Spirit, to your own praise and glory, Lord God, and that you would establish the work of your hands. Lord, you are alone worthy to receive worship, and I pray that your word would draw our hearts to worship you all the more. Bless my brothers and sisters here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. After Mao's announcement, I wasn't sure whether I'd finish with this verse or not, but the verse that came to my mind was that in Christ there's no condemnation. But I'll finish with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and then the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.